Happy Easter, everyone. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. He is risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia.
I've been waiting all Lent to say that. I kept almost saying it and then kind of like catching myself. But this is a really joyous occasion. And if we think about joy, that's something that we don't always ponder. Like, what is joy? Well, maybe if we think of things that have happened in our life that have caused us joy, we can recognize some elements of joy or some things associated with joy. We know that it's something that we're created for, that we all desire it. But it's not something that we can just go to the store and purchase or buy. And it's not the fleeting pleasures of the world. So let's take a brief moment to think. Think about your own life. What were some of the times that were most joyous for you? Now consider, if you thought of more than one moment, what were some of the things that were common in those moments? Those different joyous moments in your life. I know when I would think about the common moments of joy that I've had, the similar elements from one moment to the next, one of them would be surprise, and another one would be, in some sort of way, love. The Gospels give us an idea of the surprise of discovering the empty tomb. Mary Magdalene had been there at the foot of the cross. She had seen Jesus die, and not just simply die, but be crucified. A kind of death that was so horrendous that even the Roman Empire eventually banned it because of how terrible it was. So Mary Magdalene was not really expecting to see an empty tomb. She went there to anoint the Lord, but the tomb was empty. So she wasn't sure what to make of it. And I can relate to Mary Magdalene because sometimes when I'm just like overwhelmed, the first thing I want to do is just like tell somebody else to try to, you know, get a greater understanding of what's going on, try to understand it myself. So she runs and tells Peter and John, and they both go to the tomb. And John beat Peter to the tomb, and he looked in, but he didn't go in himself, recognizing that Peter is the first pope. He waited for Peter to go in first, but then he followed, and they both saw the empty tomb. What they saw surprised them, or rather what they didn't see surprised them. Jesus' body was gone, but they did see the burial cloths still there. So I could imagine them trying to understand the situation, trying to figure it out. What does this mean? How did this happen? If someone wanted to steal the body, they probably would have taken the burial cloth with the body, but yet the burial cloths were still there. And if they were tomb raiders, if they were thieves that came, they wouldn't want to take the worthless body. They would want to take the valuable linen cloth, the burial cloth, so that they can sell it and make some money off of it. And yet, the worthless body wasn't there, but the expensive cloth was. So it wouldn't make sense that it was thieves either. The fact that the cloth was still there was a surprise, because the body was gone. And it says in our gospel passage that when John saw this, he believed. He believed that Jesus was risen from the dead. And the surprise of it was probably overwhelming for him. And when he was beginning to believe, I can imagine that he was also being filled with joy. Having this experience, this surprise, there was likely joy. And that's really the best response to Easter, to the resurrection. Who could have ever imagined death being conquered? It was something that was puzzling. And yet that's what Easter means. Your death and my death is not the end. Jesus Christ showed us with his own resurrection that in the end, we too will rise with Christ. that we will be in heaven, not only our souls for those who are faithful, but also our bodies. At the end of time, we will all get our bodies back. We will be raised from the dead. Suffering does not have the last word. Death does not have the last word. The love of God given to us through Jesus Christ has the last word. It is because of that love that the tomb was empty. It was because of that love that God the Son was willing to come down from heaven, willing to become human, willing to suffer and die on the cross in order to reconcile us with God the Father, whom we had been separated from because of our sins. And yet, he went through all of this to win for us the grace of salvation, to be able to be with him forever in heaven. This is why we hear in our psalm today, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad." On Easter, we share that surprise of the conquering of death, the resurrection of the Lord. We share in that love that Christ poured out for all of us on the cross and revealed also in his resurrection. And when we enter into this, when we share in this surprise and this joy, I mean, surprise and love, then we can also receive that joy, the joy of Easter. And that really is the best response. The Easter story is one of the most wonderful stories that have ever happened, and this one is also true. And if we think about how good news often is just like so joyous, a person can't just like keep it to themselves, they have to go out and share it. And that's really what the apostles and the disciples did. They believed in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that dispelled their fear. That gave them the strength to go out and share the good news with others. It was too good to keep to themselves. And Christianity spread because Christians joyfully shared their story. I know when I was thinking of what is the most joyous occasion in my own life, there were multiple thoughts, but the one that beat all of the rest was being able to celebrate Mass in the tomb of Jesus while on pilgrimage with Ascension parishioners. That was the most joyous occasion that I can think of in my life. And there was that element of surprise, because originally that wasn't going to happen on that pilgrimage. And when that opportunity was revealed that it could happen, that was a source of joy, of inspiration, and of recognition of God's love. And so we can see these elements that help us to have the joy that comes at Easter, the joy of the resurrection, the joy of the surprise and of the love of God. It's this miracle that provides the evidence that really backs up everything that Jesus said during his life. Yes, he performed many miracles, but it wasn't until he was raised from the dead that this became incredibly interesting and popular. And this raising from the dead provided so much evidence that Christianity spread. There's no other religion in the world like ours. There's no other religion that says that God became man in order to save us. There's none other that has the founder of that faith, his coming predicted. We see that in the Old Testament, in the sacred scriptures. There's no other faith, no other religion where the founder of it points to himself and declares himself God, and then backs that up by doing the miraculous, by rising from the dead. Christianity is unique, and the joy of these real events prompted the apostles and the other disciples to share the good news with all the world. Joy is also a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That means it's a gift from God. And where we see people that are joyous, that's a sign that the Holy Spirit is present. But God's not going to force joy upon us. It's something that if we want to receive this gift, we have to dispose ourselves to receive it. We have to open ourselves up to this mystery, this joy that God has to offer us. And so I'd like to give you three tips or three suggestions to help you to open yourself up and to be well disposed to receive this joy. And you can remember it by the acronym GPS. So we want to set ourselves with a destination of joy. So GPS. First is gratitude. Gratitude. When we think of all the blessings that we've received, when we think about how much God loves us, then we are opening ourselves up to receive the joy of God, to receive that gift. And so if we want to become more joyous, we need to have gratitude. We need to spend some time each day to think about all the good things in life, all the things that we would be grateful for. The second is prayer. Prayer allows us to be united with Christ in a special way. Prayer allows us to have that love that is an element of this joy. Joy is the result of the relationship with Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit makes Christ present to us. So if we want to seek out joy, we should seek out Christ in our daily lives. Try to recognize those moments where he's trying to reveal his love to us. And as we recognize the Lord's love in our daily lives, it opens us up to joy. And the last one, S. Share the joy. Bring joy to someone else. This can be done in simple ways. Simple things like smiling at someone or doing a kind act. When we do these things, when we try to make somebody else joyous, it's amazing how joyful we ourselves can become. But better yet, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, his resurrection, how he's at work in our lives, sharing with other people the gratitude that we have for God in our lives, the love we recognize in our daily events and activities. Sharing that joy helps us to receive and receive that joy. So in our own time, people will come to find joy in Christ if we tell our own story about the joyous things that happen in our lives. And so it's important for us, if we want to receive joy, to follow the GPS: gratitude, prayer, and sharing. We're also about to receive the greatest source of joy, that is Jesus Christ himself, who died for us, who rose for us, who wants us to experience the joy that he has, who wants to share it with us by giving us his very self in the most holy Eucharist.